It's Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting shows from radio's yesteryear. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Coming up in this hour, variety shows. Later on, we hear the Seal Test Variety Theater with comedian Joan Davis and screen actress Dorothy L'Amour. But right now, it's Mail Call from the Armed Forces Radio Service from December 6th, 1944. With many motion picture luminaries, including Humphrey Bogart, Bob Hope, Bing Crosby, and MC Betty Grable. From the very same year, she was starring in Pinup Girl on the silver screen. And we'll hear a salute to the 32nd Division.
It's a big thrill to be saluting the men of the 32nd out in the Pacific. But right now, I guess a song wouldn't go bad, so here's My Heart Tells Me. Sometimes I feel so very certain that you care, and there are times I feel we don't belong. The more I fall for you, the more I must beware. So how am I to know if I am right or wrong
Call flings open the door to one of its regular contributors, and that famous author, world traveler, and wolf, Bob Hope.
Thank you, Betty Grable. This is Bob Hope. Ah, that Betty Grable, that's the kind of girl I dream about. Then I wake up and it's Zazu Pitts for the rest of the day. I just got back from a tour of the army camps in the East, boys. What audiences, what applause, what cigarette butts. So round, so firm, so impossible to get. Hetty Lamar met me at the station. Hetty kissed me once, and three Indians in Albuquerque answered my smoke signals. We certainly ran into a lot of unusual weather back east. Of course, I'm not allowed to mention what kind of weather it was. But all I can say is that if we have that weather in California, it would freeze almost as many oranges as the weather we have does. When I got back Saturday, I went to the USC football game here, and what traffic. One pedestrian got caught right in the center of Hollywood Boulevard. He couldn't go back, and he couldn't go forward. The Chamber of Commerce finally turned him into a fountain. I had one of those 50-cent seats. The usher brought me up part of the way, said, "You'll have to go on from here alone. If I go any higher, my nose starts bleeding." I should have realized I'd be sitting up high. My ticket said, row 8, seat 3, ceiling 0.
Ceiling 0!
I'm nervous sitting there. What a crowd. When I finally got to my seat, there was some guy there already. came up to about here on me, so I said to him, if you're standing, get away from my seat. If you're sitting, I hope you enjoy the game. There was a sailor sitting next to me with a pretty girl. I kept giving her a fleeting wink, hoping she'd get it. The sailor got it first, and I got it second. I finally managed to sit next to a pretty girl myself. The people in the grandstand watched every play that was made. Then the game started. I watched the game through my field glasses. I thought the game was awfully slow until I discovered I'd been watching a mole on the lady's neck in front of me. Oh, that Wilson's good. No wonder Benny won't let him go, huh? But I love football. What a player I was in college. I had a wonderful weaving style. In fact, I could weave so good the coach let me make blankets for the other players. Thank you. Thank you. Take the sign down, Don.
Pardon me, Bob. Bob, if you'll stop taking bows, I'd like to bring on our next guest.
Oh, you mean this show has someone else besides me? Must be an hour. I can't understand.
Yes, Bob, there are lots of people. And one of them is that popular star of two continents, the romantic singer Tito Gazzar. Welcome to Mail Call, Tito.
It's really a pleasure to be here. And it's also a pleasure to see you, Miss Grable.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yes. That dress you are wearing, it fits you to a T.
Yeah, especially around your LSMF.
Look, don't pay any attention to Hope, Tito.
I'm in a great spot to read that line, too. What a 40-cent tour. Oh, damn.
Don't pay any attention to Hope, Tito. What are you going to sing?
Well, in honor of your being on the program, Miss Grable, I'd like to sing the beautiful love song, Te Quiero Dijiste.
They got eager beavers south of the border, too.
Go ahead, Tito.
Te quiero. Dijiste, tomando mis manos entre tus manitas de blanco marfil, y sentí en mi pecho un fuerte latido, después un suspiro y luego el chasquido de un beso. Febril, muñequita linda, de cabellos de oro, de dientes de perlas, labios de rubí. Dime si me quieres, como yo te adoro, si de mí te acuerdas, como yo de ti. A veces escucho mucho, mucho, tanto como entonces, si
siempre hasta morir. Muñequita linda, de cabellos de oro, de dientes de perlas, labios de
Tito Gazzar, that was wonderful.
Wonderful. A guy comes out with a broken down guitar and sings. What is he, just a Spanish Gene Autry?
Gee, Bob, you just can't stand competition.
Competition? Listen, Betty, do you know how old Tito is? He's at least 30 years old.
Talking about ages, Bob, how old are you?
Besides that, he's got false eyelashes.
Well, Bob, I really didn't mean to get started on Tito, because you see, I wanted to ask you for a date.
Sorry, I'm busy this week. Is that really me?
Well, how about next week?
Busy.
Well, the week after?
Busy.
Well, gee, what keeps you so busy?
Making model airplanes. But I've never seen a fuselage like yours.
Bob, I've got a secret.
What is it?
I've always considered you the perfect man.
Oh, I don't know. I have my faults. I'm a friend of Crosby's.
Now, Bob, what's wrong with Bing Crosby?
What's wrong with him? Take away all that fat and what have you got? Another Sinatra. Let's not talk about haunch, paunch, and jowl. Let's talk about me.
Oh, back to haunch, paunch, and jowl again.
Yeah. I ought to spank this girl. It's not a bad idea, but I know I'll never get her over my knee. Betty, tell me, have you seen me in The Princess and the Pirate?
Yes, Bob, and you make a wonderful princess.
That does it. Come over here.
Hey, take your hands off that dame.
It's Humphrey Bogart.
One of the surprises.
Hello, Betty.
Hello, Bogey.
How are you, Betty?
Oh, I'm fine, Bogey.
Just look at him, Beauty and the Beast. And he's such a rough one, too.
Hey,
he's a monster.
Hey, who is this clown?
Why, you know Bob Hope.
Yeah, the name does sound familiar.
Well, Bob's in movies, too.
Oh, yeah, now I know. Bing Crosby's leading lady.
Now, Bogey, don't be like that. Say hello to Bob.
Hello, stinker.
Smile when you say that.
Hello, stinker.
Hello, Smiley.
Bogey, I'm so glad you're here tonight.
Well, I'm glad someone's glad, because I'm sad.
You know, Bogey, you're my favorite leading man.
Oh, thanks, Bet. Did you see me in Sahara?
Oh, yes, you were wonderful.
You see me in Casablanca?
Yes, you were swell.
You see me in Passage to Marseille?
Yes, you were great.
You ought to see me in my lace undies. I'm divine.
I knew that guy was a cream puff when I saw him.
Oh, wait a minute. Cream puff, huh? Listen, what makes you think you're so strong? I'm strong, too. Just feel that muscle. Grab that kid.
That reminds me, I have to turn in my waist fat today.
Yeah.
Bogey, I know you play tough roles in pictures, but tell me, were you always that tough?
Oh, no, Betty. When I was a kid, I was a regular mother's boy.
Who was your mother, Tugboat Annie?
I'll have you know I was a very sweet youngster.
Sweet youngster?
A sweet youngster. Yeah, on Sunday when I walked down the street dressed up in my little Lord Fauntleroy suit and my long curls, all the neighbors would point at me and say, "There goes the little rat that blew up the city hall."
So So you think you're tough, eh?
That's what everybody says.
Well, in my picture, The Princess and the Pirate, there's a real tough guy called The Hook. He's mean, vicious, cruel. Do you think you could play a part like that?
I don't see why not. I used to be a waiter at the Brown Derby.
All right, we'll give you a chance to prove it, Bogey. Right after Joe Stafford sings George in My Mind, we'll do a scene from the picture, and you'll be The Hook.
Oh, that's some casting. I play The Hook, and he's the kid who's got one. Yeah.
Steady now. Sing, Joe.
For a lovely song.
Excuse me, Betty, but Bob wants me to set the scene. Ladies and gentlemen, we now present a condensed version of The Princess and the Pirate.
Starring Bob Hope.
Today's cast includes Humphrey Bogart, Betty Grable, and Bob Hope.
Not in the order of their importance.
The time, 1500 A.D. The action takes place on the good ship Mary Ann, one of the trimmest crafts in the Navy. Hiding aboard the vessel is the Princess Snowflake, played by Betty Grable.
She's a pretty trim craft herself.
Also hiding in his cabin is an impersonator called the Great Sylvester. We find Sylvester looking in a mirror.
Oh, magic mirror upon the wall. Tell me, who is the handsomest one of all?
You are the handsomest one of all.
Oh, thank you, mirror.
Well, that's all right. I'm a little cracked anyway.
We'll call you in a couple of months. Take it easy. Well, I better get ready. I better get ready. The princess is coming down. Let's see now. I have on my new velvet breeches, my powdered wig, my new leather doublet, and my red plush yo-yo. Guess I'm ready. Come in. Ah, princess, I'm glad you've come.
Well, I came as soon as I got your message. What's cooking?
What's cooking, Princess? Please, we're in the 17th century. I sent for you because I'm carrying the secret map where the treasure's buried.
Where is it?
Tattooed on my chest, right here under the hair.
Oh, have you got hair on your chest?
Sure, look. I know, it's a little frightening, I know, but...
Yes, and it's such a nice curly one.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Princess, we're in great danger. Honest, we are. We're in great danger. A sailor just walked out. Halsey must be on the go again. They're running out of the studio. Let me see here. Where are they? Oh, yeah, back to character. Princess. Princess. We're in great danger. Everybody's walking out. No, we got to get to the... Princess, honest, we're in great danger. We gotta get to the treasure before the hook does.
The hook?
Yeah, they call him that because he has a steel hook on the... I can't read this next slide. Yes, the hook. Don't stare at me, hook. They call him that because he has a steel hook on the end of his arm. Stay away from him. His tickle is fatal. His tickle is fatal. The first thing we have to do is get off this ship. Well, the ship is being attacked. The ship is being attacked. Where can I hide?
Sylvester, where are you?
Right next to you, and thank goodness for the hoop skirt. Say, have you seen the hook yet? I think he's at the door now. Yeah, that's the hook. I'd know his knuckles anywhere.
My princess.
My pirate.
My exit.
Just a minute, Sylvester. I hear you got my secret map.
Honest, Mr. Pirate, it's only a rumor.
Rumor? Well, how would you like a swift kick in the scuttlebutt?
You'll have to see my agent.
Are you a real pirate, sir?
Am I a what?
Are you a real pirate, sir?
Well, you know what it means when you see the skull and crossbones.
Yeah, Sinatra just went by.
Now, wait a minute. I want that map, do you hear? Take off your shirt.
Which one of us are you talking to?
Well, I can try, can't I? You, I hear you got a tattooed on your chest.
No, I haven't.
We'll see. Take off your shirt.
But it's chilly. All right, I'll take it off there. Do you see anything on my chest?
I don't even see a chest. And it's such a nice curly one. Until I find my map, I'll just take the princess along as a hostage.
Oh, yeah? You'll take her over my dead body? Is it too late for a retraction?
Oh, Sylvester, protect me.
I can't stand it. Up and down, up and down, up and down. I just can't stand it.
Who are you?
Oh, just a big fat wave.
He does it too well.
Say, Hook.
Yes?
Yes? Oh, I'm sorry.
There's one thing I'd like to say.
Shut up.
But Hook, I just...
Shut up.
But Hook, I...
Shut up.
But...
Shut up, will you?
Oh, Hook, call off this treasure hunt.
All right, I'll call it off, but one of you will have to hang from the highest yardarm.
The highest yardarm?
Yeah, swing and sway the Charles Lawton way. Now, which one will it be? Who shall hang?
Hook.
Yes?
Well, there comes a time in every man's life when duty calls. In a case like this, any man who calls himself a man...
Were you calling me, Junior? Were you calling me?
Shut that door!
What happened? What's the matter?
Were you calling me? When you want somebody with talent, they won't come in. That bit player from Paramount, old man Crosby. What are you doing here?
Well, I heard they were hanging you.
And you came to save me?
I brought the rope.
Bogart, for a stirring performance.
And what about my performance?
And we hope you'll come back again real soon. Bob, is there anything else you'd like to say?
Yes, I have, Betty. You know, I've spoken to plenty of men, and I've seen plenty of outfits in this war, fellas. But I don't know of any outfit anywhere which deserves a few words of tribute and thanks more than the 32nd. 1st American Division in New Guinea, first outfit to cross the Owen Stanley Mountains, one of the first aggregations to defeat the Japanese at Buna. The 32nd went back into action in the Philippines. When any division can take what the 32nd has taken in this war, when any group of men can go through the grueling fight these men have, then, brother, there's only one word for those guys, and that word is unbeatable. So long and good luck.
Well, it's just about time to seal up our letter, men. Mail call signatures include Betty Grable, Bob Hope, Humphrey Bogart, Tito Gizar, Joe Stafford, the Armed Forces Radio Service Orchestra, and yours truly, Don Wilson. This program is arranged with the cooperation of the Hollywood Victory Committee. Another mail call will be coming your way the next time you hear... This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
Mail call on Tuned to Yesterday, a broadcast from December 6th, 1944, heard on Armed Forces Radio. As mentioned before the show, MC Betty Grable was appearing in the 1944 motion picture Pinup Girl, and she was actually regarded as that. Her poster widely seen in base camps at home and overseas, and it was believed to certifiably raise the morale of the troops fighting during the Second World War. And her looks were no joke. In fact, in the later 1940s, the Fox Studio, which she worked for, insured her legs with Lloyd's of London for $250,000. It's an hour of variety on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levenier. And now another screen bombshell, it's Dorothy L'Amour, as special guest on the Seal Test Variety Theater, with comedian Joan Davis and another screen actor, Robert Cummings, from February 3rd, 1949 on NBC.
Seal Test presents Seal Test Variety Theater. Yes, it's Seal Test Variety Theater with Henry Russell and his orchestra, the Crew Chiefs Quartet, America's Queen of Comedy, Joan Davis, and one of the most talented young men on the screen, Robert Cummings. And now, here she is, our gal Thursday, the singing star of our show, Dorothy L'Amour.
Hi, everybody. This is Dottie. Thanks a lot. Well, it's time for another star-studded evening at Seal Test Variety Theater, and it isn't often that you can come up with two greater stars than Robert Cummings and Joan Davis. Hiya, Joan. Joan, you look simply wonderful.
Oh, thanks, Dottie, and I've never seen you looking lovelier. By the way, who's doing your hair now?
Oh, I found the most wonderful hairdressers, Pierre, Henri, and Antoine. Who does your hair?
Manny Moe and Jack.
Manny Moe and Jack? But, Joan, they're auto mechanics.
No wonder they started to jack me up and try to take the dents out of my chassis.
Incidentally, Joan, aren't you thrilled about Robert Cummings dropping in tonight?
Thrilled? Well, I've never even met the boy. Besides, I'm not the least bit interested in men. That's all part of the past. I raise Cocker Spaniels now. Yeah, I built some kennels at the ranch, and I go in for dog raising in a big way.
Well, raising dogs must be fun, but I think that... Oh, here he comes, Joan. Robert Cummings. Hello, Bob.
My, how wonderful you look tonight. How's about a hello kiss?
Oh, sure thing, Bob.
Oh, and your charming friend. Hello.
Oh, no, you don't. I don't go around kissing strange men. Well, I hardly know your name.
I'm Robert Cummings.
Pucker up. Oh, brother.
Joan, what's the matter?
Dottie, do you know anybody who wants to buy 23 Cocker Spaniels?
Thank you, Dottie, Robert Cummings, and Joan Davis. In 1927, Lou Leslie wowed Broadway with his production of a fast-moving musical revue called Blackbirds. Tonight, our own Dottie L'Amour brings one of the top tunes of that show, Exactly Like You.
I know why I've waited, know why I've been blue. Prayed each night for someone exactly like you. Why should we spend money on a show or two? No one does those love scenes exactly like you. You make me feel so grand. I want to hand the world to you. You seem to understand each foolish little scheme I'm scheming, dream that I'm dreaming. Now I know why Mother taught me to be true. She meant me for someone exactly like you.
You make me feel so grand. I want to hand the world to you. You seem to understand each foolish little dream I'm dreaming and scheme that I'm scheming.
Now I know why Mama taught me to be true. She meant me for someone exactly like you.
Exactly like you.
Someone exactly like you.
Heading this way now is a young man who has starred in so many good pictures that to give you a list of them might make us run into the next program. His newest, for example, is Let's Live a Little, in which he is currently starring for his own company, United California Productions. So to make a long build-up short, here he is, Robert Cummings.
Ah, those are mighty sweet words, Dottie, but aren't you afraid you're going to spoil me?
No, Bob. If all the wonderful things the critics have said about you hasn't done it, I don't stand a chance. Anyway, we've prepared a little sketch for you and me that I hope you'll enjoy doing.
Well, lead me to it, Dottie. The ham in me is raring to go.
And now, while John Lang sets the scene, we'll change the bulbs and the footlights.
The time, ladies and gentlemen, is the present. The place, Paris. The people are Dorothy and Robert Caldwell. They're spending a belated honeymoon in the City of Light, and at the moment are gazing at the lights of Paris from the observation balcony atop the Eiffel Tower.
On the right, ladies and gentlemen, is the Arc de Triomphe. And now, if you will follow me this way, we get this superb view of Champs-Élysées as it approaches the Bois de Boulogne, with its magnificent avenues, its quaint buildings.
Oh, isn't it beautiful, dear?
No, it just can't be real.
Oh, it's real, all right. You know, 4 years ago, I was a GI walking around those streets down there. Everything I saw, everything I heard reminded me of you.
Darling.
Yes, I made up my mind that no matter how long it took us to save for it, we'd have our Paris honeymoon.
Oh, it was worth going without permanence.
And cigarettes.
And new clothes.
And...
Isn't the view simply beautiful?
Yes, isn't it?
Oh, Paris. Oh, the magic of Paris. I'll tell you a secret. I'm here on my honeymoon. Are you?
Well, yes, we saved for 3 years to make it possible.
Oh, what a coincidence. So did we. Oh, I keep pinching myself to see if I'm really spending my honeymoon in Paris.
Where's your husband?
Oh, we couldn't save enough for both of us.
Must be quite a honeymoon.
Oh, I'm having a glorious time. Of course, it's too bad Herman can't be here, but I do the next best thing. I carry Herman's picture with me wherever I go. Would you like to see it?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Oh, here it is. This is Herman. Well, it's like I always tell Herman, if he wasn't so short, fat, and bald, he'd be the best-looking man in Peoria.
Yes. Well, we'll have to go now. It's time for our dinner. And this, darling, is the little sidewalk cafe I kept telling you about.
Oh, Bob, it's just the way I pictured it.
Madame? Monsieur?
Oh, ah, garçon. Deux apéritifs, s'il vous plaît.
Oui, monsieur.
Oh, this is the place I used to come to. Every night, alone.
Weren't you lonesome, my darling?
Oh, yes, but sitting at this very table, I'd picture you sitting opposite me, just as you're sitting opposite me now.
But weren't you interested in the beautiful French girl?
I never gave him a thought. I spent all of my time thinking of you and hoping for the war to end so that we could marry and then come back here for our honeymoon.
Darling, do you think anyone would mind if you leaned across the table and kissed me?
Well, I think it could be arranged. I understand the French are very broad-minded.
American. Oh, c'est l'Américain. Oh, it's so good to see you, Bob.
Yes, hello. Hello, hello. Well, this is my wife.
Why? Oh, why? Oh, oui. Au revoir. Au revoir. Who is that, dear?
Well, that girl?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you remember the perfume that I sent you?
Yes.
Yeah, well, she was the girl who waited on me when I bought it.
Oh, it's remarkable how she could remember you after 4 years, especially with so many of you in uniform.
Yeah, well, maybe it was because I was wearing a good conduct medal.
For the aperitif, monsieur.
Merci, garçon.
Here's to us, dear.
Yes, here's to the most wonderful honeymoon with the sweetest girl in the world.
Oh, mon chéri, Bob! Oh, how happy I am to see you, darling. Oh, it is so long.
Excuse me, this is my wife.
Wife? Oh, wife. So, au revoir, Bob, darling.
What did she sell you?
Yeah, now, dear, don't go jumping to conclusions.
You can.
Mon chéri, bah, darling.
Huh. Didn't care for the French girls. Spent all your time alone thinking of me. Oh, what a fool
but
I was to
ever... We try to understand. Maybe I didn't know what I was doing. Haven't you ever heard of battle fatigue?
Yes. Yes. And now I know what you were battling for. I'm going back to the hotel.
But, darling, look...
Oh, darling.
Hmm? Hmm? What's the matter, sweetheart? Can't you sleep?
No.
What's the matter?
I just can't believe it. That was the first argument we ever had.
Oh, forget it, honey. But, gee, you sure got jealous.
Well, after all, I'm a woman.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I married you. Oh, but, honey, it's all over now. Try and get some sleep, dear.
You know, it's chilly. I'm cold.
Yeah, so am I. I'll call the floor maid and have her bring in some extra blankets. Hello, mademoiselle. Could you bring some blankets to room... room 42, Avu. Yeah, mercy.
Oh, Bob, you're wonderful.
Yeah, isn't it ridiculous, darling?
What?
Oh, that in one evening in a big city like Paris, I should meet the only two women that I ever even spoke to in all of France.
Yes, crazy, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, come in.
Pardonnez-moi, I bring you some blankets for... Bob, mon chéri, l'Américain!
Why, young...
Now, wait a minute.
Get the new Seal Test ice cream eclairs, a flavor symphony of luscious cake, rich, thick chocolate fudge, and velvet smooth vanilla ice cream. Add a coating of mellow chocolate all the way around. Dot the top with real whipped cream. And that's it, the new Seal Test ice cream eclairs. A flavor symphony so wonderful, you'll call for encores again and again. For a treat you'll sing about and shout about.
Get the best, get Seal Test ice cream eclairs.
Joan Davis rejoins us for the first time on this or any other air, our Miss Dottie sings a song from her latest picture, Slightly French. It's called, I Want to Learn About Love from You.
I want to learn about love from you. I do, I do, I do. I want to learn what a kiss can do. From you, from you, from you. Take me, teach me how a heart should feel. When to know it's real, I yearn to learn. What should I whisper when we're alone, 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 alone? How would I go about making you my own, my own, my own? What are the things I'm missing? I think it's time I knew. I want to learn about love, love, love from you. What are the things I'm missing? I think it's time I knew. I want to learn about love, love, love from you.
Dottie, it's time now for you to exchange words with one of show business's greatest laugh girls, Joan Davis.
Right you are, and Joan is not only one of my favorite laugh girls, she's my dream girl. In fact, I dreamt about her only last night.
You mean you dreamt about Joan Davis?
Yes, I never should have poured that Russian dressing on my Wheaties.
Well, that combination certainly must have led to a wacky dream. Tell us about it, Dottie.
Well, in my dream, Joan Davis was a frantic reporter on a newspaper called the Daily Bugle, pestering me to death for an interview. Before she arrived, I was at home trying to relax. I was nervous, restless, upset, when suddenly there was a knock at the door. Who is it?
Oh, excuse me, but you're Dorothy L'Amour, aren't you?
Yes, I am. You wanted to see me about something?
Miss L'Amour. You see, I'm Joan Bugle of the Daily Davis. I'm Joan Daly of the Davis Bugle. No, I mean, I'm Joan Davis of the Daily Bugle.
Joan Davis of the Daily Bugle?
Yes, the Daily Bugle is a newspaper.
Fine. Now, what's a Joan Davis?
It's a... Why, it's a me. I'm a woman newspaper man. Yeah, and I gotta get an interview with you for my paper, see? You know, ask you some questions, stuff like that.
Well, really, I'm very tired.
Tell me, what kind of lipstick do you use?
Well, I...
Do you think ham hocks are going any higher?
Listen, I...
Do you think skirts are getting any lower?
Well, I think...
Do you think there's any connection?
Miss Davis... Miss Davis, I...
If you had a chance, would you marry Gorgeous George? And do you think...
I think you're crazy.
May I quote you? And now, just one more question. Do you think television will ever replace necking? Please tell me.
Miss Davis, I'm not giving any interviews, so goodbye.
Ah, good afternoon, Miss L'Amour. We got your telephone call, and we've reserved for your hairdressing our very best French operator. Here is the booth, and this is Yvette, who has just arrived from Paris.
Well, how do you do, Yvette?
Or should I say bonjour?
Oh, bonjour, bonne nuit, and buttons and bones.
They tell me you have just arrived from France. We?
We? No, not we. Just me. I arrived last week. I came over on the Normandy. What a beautiful, wonderful trip it was. You see?
Wait a minute. Huh? The Normandy has been sunk for years.
No wonder the bread was so soggy. Oh, well, I had better to start fixing Madame's hair.
You'd better.
But I have the question to ask you first.
What is it?
Do you think that television will ever replace necking?
I think that... Wait a minute. That question, that voice. I'm getting out of here.
But about that interview...
No. Absolutely, finally, definitely, conclusively, emphatically, no.
Well, as long as you're undecided, I still have a chance.
We've been expecting you. Just step through that door. Helga, our new Swedish masseuse, will take care of you.
Thank you. Gosh, there's so much steam here, I can hardly see a thing. Are you there, Helga?
Yeah, that's me, Helga Helvig.
Fine. And you're going to give me my massage?
Yeah, by yump and yivany. A been give you a been good first-class body contour treatment. A bane.
What in the world is a body contour treatment?
Oh, we bane mold your body. We don't guarantee to rub the fat off, but we move it to a less conspicuous place. We bane.
Well, that's quite an accent you have, Helga. Where are you from?
Minnesota. Me and Yanni Helvig been get married and raise 23 children.
23 children?
Yeah. In Minnesota, we have no quota.
Well, maybe we'd better get started with a massage.
That'd been a good idea, that'd been. But first, A would like to ask you a question.
Sure, what is it?
Do you, Bane, think the television, Bane, ever replaced necking, Bane?
Why, Miss Davis, get out of my way or I, Bane, break every bane in your body. Thanks for inviting me to your party, Lord Winfield. I needed relaxation after the day I've had. Say, who's that strange-looking creature holding that fan up to her face?
Oh, she's a new arrival in England. Said her name was Lady Rockford. Wait, I'll call her. I say, Lady Rockford. Cheerio and pip, pip.
Oh, cheerio, but I'm too pooped to pip. a jolly J. Arthur rank to you, old boy.
Miss Lamour, this is Lady Rockford.
Well, I'm charmed to meet you.
Thank you.
You know, Lady Rockford, there's something very familiar about you. Haven't we met before?
Perhaps.
Boy, when you dream, you don't fool around with it. I've spent most of my time in India.
Wonderful place, India.
Oh, yes. Ah, to be in India when the monsoons are in season.
The monsoons?
Yes, aren't they delicious? Especially the way the natives prepare them, with Indian nuts. Now, as an English woman, I'd like to ask you, an American, a question.
Yes?
Do you think television will ever replace men?
You again, Miss Davis. Can't you leave me alone?
Well, gosh, Miss Lamour, if you don't answer me now, I'll have to make up an interview with you.
Then make it up.
Well, I may have to say that I saw you at a party and a handsome man was drinking champagne out of your slipper.
Well, it sounds rather flattering, a handsome man drinking champagne out of my slipper.
I know, but I say it took 3 quarts to fill it.
All right, you win. I'll give you the interview on one condition.
Yeah, what's that?
That throughout it, you refer to my age as under 20.
Under 20, huh?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, you're under 20. Well, let's get started.
Under 20, huh?
Well, here's the first question. Do you think television will ever replace necking?
Well, frankly, I think necking is such a naive form of entertainment that television is bound to replace it. What's more, it's so much more fun.
Wait a minute.
You really think television is more fun than necking?
Certainly.
Under 20, huh?
Sister, you gotta be over 60.
Well, Joan Davis, and we're all looking forward to seeing you in your new Columbia picture, The Traveling Saleswoman. Well, for next Thursday, our marquee will shine with two more wonderful guests from the movies. Romantic Richard Widmark, and from the musical world, the bazooka virtuoso of Van Buren, Bob Burns. To Robert Cummings and Joan Davis, who appeared with us tonight, a special hand for your wonderful performances. Your appearance tonight contributes to a fine cause, the establishment of the American Federation of Radio Artists Welfare Insurance Fund. So till next Thursday, then, for Henry Russell and the orchestra, the crew chief's quartet, and tonight's guests, this is Dorothy L'Amour saying, keep well, keep happy, and keep listening.
Tonight's Seal Test Variety Theater was written by Howard Harris and Sidney Zelenka. Direction was by Glenn Hall Taylor.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
The Seal Test Variety Theater on Tuned 2 yesterday from February 3rd, 1949 on NBC, bringing the curtain down on this hour of variety on Tuned 2 yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from the Golden Age of Radio. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levillier. Thanks for tuning in.